Hello, everyone, and welcome to Uncertain Futures here on Sports Grid. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Michael Leone. We are back after a couple-week hiatus after the Super Bowl, and now that we are beginning to really look in earnest at NBA futures, Leone's had some time to run some numbers. The market at the top in terms of the NBA futures market has really, it's basically been unchanged though for the last month. If you thought the Bucks were a good bet a month ago, they're basically the same price now. I guess the one thing is the Clippers have changed price a little bit. At one point at the beginning of the season, they were ahead of the Lakers, the Clippers, and now depending on the book, they're basically tied. But Mike, very, very excited to get back to the grindstone with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I think there's a few interesting points to talk about, like just macro looking at futures markets when you take a look at the top of the NBA list. It's always hard with NBA to find longer shot teams just because the grind of the NBA playoffs, like the skill gap matters so much more in NBA playoffs than it does with other sports playoffs. But what's really interesting to me is how underpriced Milwaukee seems for a couple of reasons. One, just our simulations that Arturo Galletti does for us over on Sports Grid have Milwaukee at, you know, over a 50% chance to win the NBA Finals. I think that's a little bit steep. He's got them as really heavy favorites if they were to make the finals because they'd have home court. And I think that's maybe off a little bit. But if you think it's anywhere close to what he has, you know, they're plus 240 on DraftKings and FanDuel. I got them last week, plus 275 elsewhere. So, you know, teams in general that have had this remarkable regular season that the Bucks have are generally big favorites.
Dink just posted that in our Slack. Basically, every team that has matched.
Me, you jerk.
Very classic Daily Roto scenario of Dink getting credit for something that that you actually did. But So, but the general idea is every team that has been as dominant as Milwaukee, not even in terms of point differential, so, you know, nothing to even really era adjust, but just in terms of raw win losses, every team went on to win the title except for the 72 win Warrior, or the 73 win Warriors teams that everyone remembers that finals.
Yeah. And you know, so on one hand, it just seems like they're underpriced based on how amazing they've been in the regular season. The second reason they seem underpriced is they're a little bit shorter odds than the Lakers and the Clippers, but not by a ton. Right now, they're about plus 240, while the Lakers and Clippers are around plus 300. I think the Clippers are plus 330 on one of the books on DraftKings, whereas they're plus 300 with the Lakers on FanDuel. And I feel a little bit dirty. You know, I've got a Lakers Magic Johnson jersey on as I'm touting the Bucks here. But when you think it through and you look at to win the conference odds, the Bucks are minus 170-ish to win the conference, whereas the Clippers and Lakers, because they have to go through each other, are both about plus 170. So why would their Clippers and Lakers odds be the same to win the finals as the Bucks, or that close? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's basically saying that the Clippers and Lakers, whichever one of them made the finals, would be pretty heavy favorites over Milwaukee when you run out the math. And something we've mentioned here before, we picked up from the logic of sports betting, which we're required to talk about.
I think we're going to mention every single episode. Yeah.
But how markets that should be correlated, like, sometimes aren't in terms of how the sites actually price things.
And so if you think about that from a bookmaker's perspective, why would all of those markets not be correlated? Well, some of the correlated markets are not going to get as much action. So, you know, if you're trying to balance out, if you're trying to balance out action in a certain market, or if you're just trying to make action in one market more enticing, then maybe you don't go through every single correlated market and go make things priced like equivalent, essentially. So it is one of those areas where there is some room to make money if you're willing to let your money sit there for a long time. Mike, I'm not betting the Bucks. I'm not gonna 4 months left to go before Milwaukee would potentially win the NBA championship, I'm not going to be booking them at plus 250. Now, is it a good bet? I think it probably is. But, like, I would rather bet, you know, a couple women's tennis underdogs tomorrow with that money as opposed to holding that for 4 months.
Davis, he's always trying to rack it up. I'm sitting back letting my money go where I think it's good a little bit more. I'm okay letting it sit there. So I did bet the Bucks, like I said, at plus 275. Still think it's a good bet at plus 240 where it is on DraftKings and FanDuel. And then another thing to talk about, which we, you know, when we did our wrap up of the NFL playoffs, the thing we focused on was, okay, maybe we didn't look close enough at where teams' regular season data might be off for whatever reason. For Baltimore and the Ravens, it was just that they ran so well in the regular season. Not that it was wrong, but there wasn't a lot of upside there. Whereas Kansas City,
they had played as best, as good as they were possibly going to play in the regular season. They were routinely scoring 50 points. They were like, they were
positive game scripts for,
yeah, they were getting
the latter 90th half of the season.
Yeah, they were getting, you know, 90th percentile outcomes in a bunch of their games, whereas, you know, the exact opposite happened with the Chiefs. They had a really rough regular season relative to what their preseason expectations were, you know, even losing Mahomes for a couple of games. The backfield was shuffled up. Tyreek was hurt. Watkins got hurt. Like, it just, you know, just all that stuff happened throughout the course of the regular season. We kind of think, Mike, that the reverse of that is happening with the Bucks, where their numbers might actually be even better. Giannis is playing only 30.9 minutes a game compared to, you know, well, I mean, we think he might play 38 minutes a game in the playoffs probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be up there, and it's all the starters. So if you're modeling out, and this is something Arturo said, for the playoffs, you know, even if you're trying to be conservative on the Bucks because, you know, maybe this regular season dominance isn't going to carry over or whatever, it's hard to be conservative because they're 50-8. They have this absurd regular season data, and their starter minutes are only going to expand come NBA playoff time. So it's really hard to say, oh, they're Baltimore, everything ran well, and they'll peel back. So another reason they might be underpriced. And the Clippers, you can make a similar story for. It's not the exact same one, but, you know, Paul George has been out for spurts. They've rested Kawhi Leonard a lot. They just haven't been at
full strength the whole time. I think you can just make a super honest case for saying the Lakers or the Clippers are actually probably underpriced relative to what they project to be. They have beaten the Lakers head to head. So just starting from there, when the two teams played together, they beat the Lakers. And then I think that you can go back and look at fully healthy Paul George two seasons ago and say, people were saying this guy was the best player in the NBA. They were saying he was an MVP candidate. And, you know, just as every week goes by, seemingly he gets a little bit closer. His shoulders heal up a little bit more. On the converse, you could say the more games Kawhi Leonard is forced to play, the worse his knee condition is going to get. And maybe they just will never have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard fully healthy at the same time. I started out the season being a big Lakers truther, you know, said they were the best team in the NBA, said they should win the title. I think now the correct power rankings are Bucks, Clippers, Lakers in terms of how I would expect them to met out in the playoffs. I really think, though, the championship team is just so incredibly likely to be one of those three teams.
Yeah, so it's really hard to bet any long shots. And similar to you, I agree, the Lakers, they're the odd man out here, you know, because the Western Conference odds, at least to go or to win the finals, you know, they just don't add up relative to Milwaukee. So one of them has to be overpriced. And if we don't think it's the Clippers, process of elimination pretty much has to be the Lakers. So that's where I'm at. I don't think there's a whole ton to talk for. As far as winning the conference, you know, the Bucks odds, you know, if you're going to bet the Bucks to win the conference, you might as well bet them to win the title.
What are the Rockets odds to win the conference? Because I don't know if I would be super confident in them beating the Bucks, but I think, you know, it certainly is possible. I think that they could beat the, like, if they just ran crazy
plus
hot on threes.
650 on DraftKings to win the conference.
I kind of like that. What do Arturo's numbers say? That's bad.
So he's not on Houston like at all. He has that.
I know his model really likes Capella, just like historically it has.
His model does not like Houston. Like the team that he likes that would be a long shot to win the West, you know, ironically, would be OKC, which I don't know if that's their path.
Chris Paul,
would be,
I mean,
so
he's one of the best players to ever put the uniform on, you know?
Especially in the playoffs, right?
Right. I mean, I just like there. It's hard for me to think of an Oklahoma City Thunder player that I would trust more, you know, down a couple points in game seven on the road than Chris Paul.
He doesn't have anyone as really a good bet. That would just be the, if you were to bet someone there, what are they? Plus 5,000 to win the West. What odds is that? I need, is that 500 to 1 or 50? Yeah. 50 to 1. He has them more as like, actually, no, that would probably be a plus EV bet because he has him a 9% chance to. I'm doing some poor math in my head right now. I'm struggling.
Leave the poor math to me, Michael. That's,
I know. What is happening right now? I'm like, my brain's like malfunctioning a little bit. All right. So you would win on a $100 bet. You would win
$5,000.
$5,000, 9% of the time, which is plus 450.
Are we doing some Kelly calcs here on the show?
And then 91% of the time, you would lose your $100.
$100. Yeah. So the expected value of that bet is...
Oh, so that's a pretty plus EV bet if he's anywhere close to 9%. I think 9% is way too high, but like if you think it's anywhere close...
Let's cut it in half. Do it at 4.5% and see if it's still good.
All right, so 0.045 times 5,000, right? That's what you'd win on a $100 bet. That's 225. So that's already more than...
That's still a plus EV bet?
Yeah, because it's going to be like minus 95. Your EV is going to be... you know, $130 on that bet.
So we're betting on this, by the way, is a great way to go broke at sports betting is just to tie your roll up in super long shot bets that you have convinced yourself are like slightly plus EV. This is a big like golf
over
betting
a long
thing.
Period of time where you're just never going to see that money.
Yeah. It's like, yes, this bet might have a positive expectation, but you would have to bet it 5,000 times to get you'd have to bet it 5,000 times to actually expect to get that EV. And then law of large numbers, you might never even get it, even if you get to bet it 10,000 times.
So only long shot bet we're touting then, I guess, is OKC or do you Houston at that?
I will bet this, but I don't feel like I think, I like Houston
much
more
just
as a
little
bet.
Bit of change. A little bit of change.
Well, it's just like I learned this lesson when Keith Mitchell won the Honda Classic last year at 250 to 1. The data golf tools that we use on dailyroto.com had him as like a really good plus EV bet at 250 to 1, and I did not make it, and he won. And like literally that one moment has been very instructive to me of like, if you're getting sick prices on something. Like, I mean, literally just put $5 on it because you will be so sick if it hits and you didn't have it. So I have a lot of $5 futures bets sitting in my sports betting accounts.
Some of us have an absurd amount of equity in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander basketball cards.
Looking good on that front.
I bought like a $4,500 card before the season. That's already way up.
It's like now, 8K. So,
yeah, probably. It's numbered out of 10 National Treasures RPA, if anyone knows what that is, graded as a PSA 10. So pretty proud of that purchase.
I just got a DM from someone asking me if I've speculated on sports cards at all. And I was like, you got to just go talk to Leone. That's your guy.
The thing I've done with sports cards, you really got to focus on one or two markets and know them well, or else you just end up spending so much time and money on little stinky crap. That's just not worth it. But yeah, I guess that's it for NBA. I think, again, interesting takeaways are the markets that should be correlated don't seem like they are. The regular season data on Milwaukee being so good and yet could still be underrating them, you know, just pushes me to them being a really good bet. And then just really no long shot bets. Don't like the Lakers of the main three. Maybe you sprinkle a little bit on OKC. Anything else before you can, you know, tout your run of golf outrights?
I mean, do we want to take a look at any of the alternative markets, MVP, Rookie of the Year? I think there's like an interesting discussion to be had on if we made a mistake not betting Zion at Rookie of the Year when his price plummeted. Like at one point, he was like 12 to 1, 10 to 1, 11 to 1 on the FanDuel and DraftKings sportsbooks when he was injured. And it seems like maybe a bit of an error to have not bought those because he is so good.
Wow, he's plus 300 now? It isn't like, how can he beat Ja though? With just
if the Grizzlies, well, I mean, the Pelicans can get the 8 seed. right? They're in almost direct competition with one another. I would guess whoever makes the playoffs in that final seed behind Oklahoma City, whether it be the Grizzlies or whether it be the Pelicans, the corresponding rookie will win the award, depending on who makes the playoffs.
So if I want to tout a bet that I did make for player futures, I have Bam Adebayo to win most improved player at plus 2,000. Freaking Brandon Ingram, though. So it's Bam is at plus 300 now. Ingram's plus 140.
But if the Heat are the four seed and the Pelicans miss the playoffs, I feel like that's live.
Yeah. Are there any other players' futures you like right now? Like regular season MVP seems Giannis stepped down.
MVP is locked up. What is, I mean, do they is Gobert like minus 900 for DPOI?
No. He's plus 300. AD's minus 250.
No. Gobert wins every year. Gobert's the I mean, just every year people talk about defensive player of the year. This is actually true. You go back and listen to, you know, the Low Post or the Bill Simmons podcast or Dunked On, and listen to any of them. And they'll have, you know, 30-minute conversations about, oh, you know, is Paul George defensive player of the year? And then at the end of the conversation, they go, the Jazz literally just do not allow scoring to happen when Gobert is on the court, and he wins every year. He's the best.
Okay, Philly Dilly is going to absolutely kill me if we don't start talking some golf futures. So you have hit, what, 3 weeks in a row, including a couple long shots. You had Nick Taylor 150-1, Adam Scott 33-1, Victor Hovland 12-1. It's a pretty good run, man.
And let us not forget, I almost hit Bryson 25-1, and then he three putted, and it was a very tough scene because I was in Slack chat like already like pumping myself up for having won, and I did not see Patrick Reed coming, and he really got me. It was a pretty tough scene, but yeah, I have been using Hovland obviously was pretty. I mean, Hovland at Puerto Rico Open was really obvious, but. Adam Scott and Nick Taylor, those were just straight from the data golf tools that we have on dailyroto.com. Both of them were plus EV outrights. And then, you know, obviously after you win one, like if you win one outright at a decent price, you know, deeper than 50-1 or whatever, you've paid for your golf season. You're not really going to go broke like betting head to heads and stuff if you've already won an outright. So,
how much money and amount of bets are we going to make when we can live mobile bet from PA on our golf
trip?
It's going
to be so good.
The US Open in June.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. I'm already preparing for it. I mean, Drewby, we've talked about this on the golf show, but just there are definitely a lot of opportunities for live betting as it pertains to golf because the odds do not update until the hole is completed. So let's say you have a guy who's trailing.
I'm going to miss out on the... All right, continue.
But let's say, and this is the example that Drewby gave, but let's say a guy is trailing by 3 strokes and he's on a par 5 and he hits his second shot to 3 feet. His odds are not going to update until he makes the eagle putt or the birdie putt or whatever. So if you're sitting there watching on TV or following on ShotLink or whatever, and you see that he rolls it into this, you know, tap-in eagle putt or whatever, you can make a bet on that expected value before his odds change, which is, that's a pretty big edge.
Yeah. I'm just envisioning me and Ricky, you know, doing activities and stuff while you're glued to your phone trying to make these live bets.
I mean, it's like anyone, like Drew's been places with me. Like people in DFS who've listened to this, who've been places with me, like Peter Overzet, like it's like, it seems fun to hang out with me and like do stuff with me. But the problem is like,
with your phone.
I can't not be, dude. Like I gotta be.
Dude, I'm stripping you of it when we're on the golf course, at least.
Well, as long as we're playing for like a significant amount of money golfing, then I won't be. I'll be fine.
Okay. We will.
Well, it also depends what sports we're doing.
Yeah, I have to give Drewby kudos because a couple months ago, right when Webb, I think, won an event, he noted that his Masters odds were way long. And I got him 60-1 to win the Masters, 80-1 to win the PGA Championship, I think it is. Open Championship, 80-1 to win the Open Championship. So he is down to 33-1 to win the Masters. Probably not much equity there. I just wanted to brag about getting that good number in. And
do you love that? You love that? Dude?
When you get a number halved,
yeah, it feels great. Yeah, it does.
So, looking at the Data Golf rankings, though, is there something you see there as far as guys that's, you know, obviously the web opportunity has passed? Are there opportunities out there?
I mean, I have one bet at the Masters for a future. If you had to guess, who do you think it is?
I don't know. You love to bet. You probably bet Rory or Bryson.
No, I would not. I would not bet Rory freaking 2 months out. I bet Bryson at 28-1.
Okay. Well, I got it right. 28-1. You think that's a good bet? 28-1.
Well, I was anticipating him winning the WGC Mexico and that number coming down to like 25 or 22.
So Data Golf does have him 11th and trending up in the world. And of the guys ahead of him, they all have shorter odds. So maybe it's not.
I mean, that's I can't believe Patrick Reed
has actually been playing really well. I'm so used to him being kind of like going into the Masters last year was sort of a fraud win. And then he came back down to earth. And now they have him 9th in the world, which is pretty wild to me.
He's just in one of those modes where he can't miss an iron shot. And when you can't miss iron shots, it's generally pretty good.
What about Haddon at 125-1?
Nah. I've already gotten my Brit winning the Masters experience out of the way. What if you wanted to bet Haddon for the British Open, I would say so that's fine.
Of people, he just cracked their top 25 and has like the highest trend up. Of people within the top 30 or so, moved up 12 spots.
I guess maybe 125 to 1
is pretty good.
So like, I think when you're making bets like that, you should think about, you know, relative to other markets, how good are you at predicting price shifts? And I would say the number one market that I feel confident predicting price shifts in is XFL markets, undefeated on beating closing line value in XFL markets. In terms of golf markets, I do not feel confident at all saying, oh, well, Hatton's number will be 60 then. I mean, because
it's going to be less. I'll bet you right now it's shorter than 125-1.
If you think that, then you should bet it right now and lock it in.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to bet it. Let's see what it is on. Some of these sites are so difficult to use. Keep talking. I'm going to find my head and bet.
All right. Well, if I'm going to go over to my book and see what price I can get on it as well. I guess they don't even have them listed
on the site. That.
Well, that so that's probably a good sign. I will say this though. we talk about
is he in the Masters?
Well, he played last year, so he's probably qualified. It's like an invitational, though. So if they're like, Hatton, we want you to play, he'll come and play.
So, yeah.
I remember that was a thing. People were betting Cameron Champ for the Masters last year, and then he didn't even end up getting to play.
I did that with Finau 1 year. I don't think it was the Masters. I think it was one of the other ones, but it wasn't great.
Tough scenes.
Dude, but if you look at the Data Golf odds, like all the other guys around Hatton, like Kuchar is 50-1.
Okay. I'm gonna go find him.
Horschel 175-1. I cannot see that guy actually.
Hatton is 150-1 at my book.
Yeah, maybe it's just a bad bet and I'm just like really trying hard to find something because I don't know anything about golf and I want to be one of the cool kids.
I mean, I think you are looking at a guy who is from like a data source that we trust, they rate him higher than the market does right now.
I'm also probably underrating that there's probably like a lot of fragility once you get past a certain ranking where these guys are probably moving each week. So like he's 25th now and could be 40th with one bad event. Like that's probably not 40th, but.
So but I think like after Webb at 33-1, I don't see any big distinction between any of these guys. I think they're all equally super unlikely to win the Masters. I think the Masters winner is so incredibly likely to come from Rory, Woods, Rahm, JT, Dustin, Xander, Cantlay.
It does always seem like a loaded leaderboard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just like that is an event for a lot of reasons, you know, the pressure involved. It's a golf course that really rewards. Data Golf has found that it's, you know, it just really rewards guys who've played it a bunch, because there are a bunch of elements of the course that's really tricky if you haven't played it before. You know, Hatton, if we want to get super, super granular, grew up playing on like different types of grass and stuff like that. That's, and we laugh as people who are really data focused and say, well, like, that doesn't matter at all. But then that stuff, and like, when I had Tom Hoagie on the Tate Cast, he was like, no, it's a real thing. Guys, think about it. Guys know that like grass types is a real thing. But like Dylan Fratelli, who grew up in South Africa, was like, well, I grew up in South Africa. And then when I was really young, I came to the States to play at the University of Texas, and getting to play on all those different surfaces was really good for me.
Yeah. All right. So you got to tout one person for the Masters right now. You wanted to talk golf futures. You
Bryson, 28-1. Also, there are books that offer like, will you win a major this year's type stuff. And
dude,
Rory, the
Data Golf guy would be, you know, like Hideki's 33-1.
Yeah, they would be like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, because Hideki is like the strokes gained tee to green god. That's like what he does. So
one of these times, going to win big on Hideki.
I don't know. Feels unlikely.
So many good golfers right now, though.
Golf is in a great place right now. Okay, Leone, you can get Tyrrell Hatton. Let me find him at the British Open. See, they know, like, the sports books are so good. He's 150-1 for the Masters. What do you think his British Open price is?
I don't know, 75-1.
66-1?
Yeah.
So it's just like, what can you do with that? Like, you're much better off betting the Masters price. I'm going to bet
just,
it with you.
Or just not betting, yeah.
No, okay, so this is a point I wanted to make, and then I got distracted. If you are making futures wagers, I actually do think that as long as you are, you know, you understand Kelly and stuff, it's so much better to bet super long shots that are going to reward your money being locked up for 2, 3, 4 months or whatever. Like, as long as you think they are plus EV bets.
You're not missing that money if you lose, you're not missing it, really.
Yeah, and like, so you are not betting every day. Right, like you're not logging in to like live bet like Women's Tennis Association underdogs, which I can't. It's like it's taking over my life, and it's really disruptive right now. But because that is true, you are much more likely to bet the Bucks at whatever and be like, that's my sports betting like budget, like that's my sports betting bankroll for right now. Whereas like, I not don't need it, but I like having more money.
Well, if you're
money.
Not a nit, you have money like that that you can just don't care about. So,
well, it's true. I mean, I'm trying to be like my boy Nick Cock. But yeah, so like I just like to have more money on hand. So like if I want to bet 20 outrights and 7 tennis matches and stuff all in the same day, whatever, I can.
Yeah. All right. I guess you can take us out of here. I don't think there's too much more.
Nope. All right, everyone. That was the Uncertain Futures Sports Betting Show. Hope that you guys enjoyed it. Of course, you know, if you guys have questions, comments, anything you guys want us to talk about in future episodes, we would love to hear that. Maybe next week we will get with the Data Golf guys and see if we can go through the golf futures markets in a more data measured way. Yeah, a more sophisticated way, as opposed to just being like, Tyrrell Hatton 150-1, let's get it in, let's do it.
Look at that Data Golf ranking.
Look at it. All right, everyone, thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week.